It's time for Brother Larry's Sinner's Sunday. Oh yeah. You tell him, Larry. Brother Larry coming at ya.
Thank you, Brother Dre. Thank you, Lariats, and welcome, welcome everyone to Sinner's Sunday. It's good to be with you here again at our cozy hang, where the beer is cold, the barbecue is hot, and all the women are pointy. Since we began these Sunday gatherings, we've covered a lot of territory, from Samson to Daniel in the lion's den to Buddhist monks that convert their bodies to light to phony televangelists and devil popes. How to be a one-man gang. How to win any argument using the amazing techniques of JC himself. We try to keep it fresh and different. And we also try to scrape 2,000 years of propagandist paint off of one Jesus T. Christ. The T stands for truth, don't you know? Because he has been distorted and twisted by corporate God providers, and they're still hard at it. They like to demasculinize JC, render him kind of neuter and passive and bland. They also always paint him as meek and humble, never offensive. And that is a crock. He liked the ladies, and they liked him a lot. He was cool and funny and unafraid of confrontations, which were usually sparked by his refusal to speak anything but the truth, which he never sugarcoated in an attempt to spare anybody's feelings. He knew that truth sometimes hurts, and his attitude was, deal with it. There's a crazy disconnect in our culture. Society places a big, big emphasis on honesty. Yet, those who are honest are nearly always screwed over for their honesty. Lying weasel politicians and clergymen and academics and corporate tools, they're the ones that succeed. The truly honest ones get ground into pulp. The fact is, most people would rather hear feel-good lies than the truth. Now more than ever, with all this crap about sensitivity. If JC were alive today, without question, he would once again be crucified, but not before being forced into anger management classes with a minor in sensitivity training. Of course, they'd get him on hate speech as well. He cursed that fig tree. He called people names lots of times. When people were unworthy of respect, he showed them contempt. He once called a woman a dog. Imagine that. Ooh, he'd be toast. PC Bible scholars try to spin all these passages, water them down, or say they were misinterpreted. But those guys have an agenda, and they're full of crap. JC was an alpha male. He said whatever he wanted to say, exactly the way he chose to say it, and he never apologized. Were JC alive now, he wouldn't last 3 weeks in public life, never mind 3 years. It was one of JC's always honest answers that we'll kick around now. In his day, without marketing or advertising or promotion or social media, he became a rock star, strictly by word of mouth. And so when he'd come into town, people wanted to hang with him, feed him nice meals, and pamper him, and talk with him. And one day he came into the town of Bethany, where he encountered a trio they've never quite figured out. Martha, her sister Mary, no, not his mom, and not Mary Magdalene the hooker, but another Mary, and the famed Lazarus. Seems the three of them may have lived together, which was odd. Back then, most people were married before they were 20, and these three lived rather well. Few people had homes big enough to entertain guests, and when he comes in the house and has a seat, Mary gets right to work on his hair and feet with some very pricey perfumed oil called nard. It's a simple little story, and as usual, the Bible scholars seem overly concerned with minutiae. Hot running water was in short supply. Soap, as we know it, might not have been invented yet, so some think this was maybe some kind of a shampoo. Others claim it was purely symbolic. Anointing somebody's head with oil was a way to exalt them. When those dusty desert roads, they must have been rough on the feet, even with sandals. So when Mary finishes with his hair, she works on his tootsies. And when she has them all cleaned up, she dries them with her hair. Whoa. There's a scene that would trigger millions of pussy hat wearers. Huh? A woman washing a man's feet and then drying them with her hair. Ooh. Of course, it wasn't just any man. And he did not force or pressure her or even ask her to do that. She did it voluntarily. But still, imagine that today. Ooh, she'd be pilloried, and he'd be crucified for just accepting her largesse. Now, Sister Martha, who might be the boss sister, is none too pleased with this tableau. Though they are comfortable, they're not wealthy. They have no servants, and Martha has been rattling those pots and pans and putting up appetizers and dinner and dessert. And the whole time, her sister Mary is chit-chatting with the Son of God. And Martha gets pissed off and complains and tells JC to tell Mary to help her out. And then JC tells her straight out, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but only one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken from her." There's a lot to be gleaned from that line. JC knew who he was and had no qualms whatsoever about making clear his worth. There would always be dirty dishes, but how often do you get to have dinner with the Son of God? He was not modest. He was not self-effacing. He didn't stand up and roll up the sleeves of his robe and clear the table or scrub the pots. In point of fact, he was above those chores. And he wasn't about to do them in an attempt to curry favor with Martha and look like Mr. Humility. Bible scholars never go there. They try to focus this passage on Mary's wise choice and Martha's foolish one, but they gloss right over the attitude of JC, which some might consider what? Arrogant? Maybe. If he had been anyone but who he was. In his case, he was just honest. This comes into even sharper focus in the next sequence, when the road tour's accountant, Judas, complains about all that expensive oil, which they say may have been worth as much as a year's wages to the common man. Judas yells at Mary, "Hey, why are you pouring that liquid gold over his head when we could sell it and feed the poor?" Ooh. And JC tells Judas to back off, that she's been saving it for his burial, and the poor will always be around, but he won't. Was Judas concerned about the poor? Hell no. He was an embezzler and a punk, and he wanted to get his mitts on that jing, probably figuring he could skim some. But fakes always peg their duplicitous plots to the poor, or even more often, the children, or even better, poor children. Seems like I say it every time we're together. Nothing has changed in 2,000 years. Nothing. This is another hot-button passage with the Christian commies, and there are lots of those. They don't want JC acknowledging the stone fact that there always will be poor people. But these camouflaged Marxists, they think they've got the magic wand system that will eliminate poverty. But in thousands of years of human history and endless political and economic systems, poverty has always remained, and it always will. J.C. was nothing if not a realist. But oh, how those utopian jackholes try to spin that line. They seethe and say, but, that's not what he meant. No. He was referencing a passage in Deuteronomy. Bullshit. Aside from political implications, that rebuke of Judas underscores what he told Martha. Hey, I won't always be here. I'm somebody. Somebody worthy of a shampoo with crazy expensive oils. And a nice pedicure. And if some cute chick wants to dry my feet with her hair and talk with me instead of doing kitchen work with her sister, that's cool too. I once anointed my head when I was doing an oil change. But I'd kind of like to have some nice woman do my hair and maybe even try a pedicure. I hate clipping my toenails. I once got a barber shave. That was amazing. The hot towels and lather, the straight razor. It was so close, I didn't have to shave for 2 days. Maybe that's another message to take away from these Gospels. None of us will be here forever. But there are dishes in Chinese museums that go back 20,000 years. So even if you're not the Son of God, there's no sin in being good to yourself. Hey, thanks for hanging with me once again. Support the Sinner's Sunday Ministry at patreon.com/thatlarryshow. Write to me at thatlarryshow@gmail.com. Come on back and hang with us this Tuesday for the regular show. I'll see you then.